right, everybody, welcome back to another edition of The Sportsman. We've got Mikey V here. We've got Joey D here, as always. Make sure you guys like, comment, subscribe on the YouTube and follow the Instagram. Fire your questions into the Instagram. That's how Mr. Anderson will then send them to us, and we will read them at the end of each episode. Gentlemen, there's really only one place to start. It's where we always start. It's college football, and the playoff is final. We've got our four teams, and you know, Joe, let's start with you. I mean, what do you think of Georgia missing the cut, Florida State missing the cut? What do you think of the four teams that made it?
I mean, it's really, at this point, it's just like back and forth. Like, you know, I obviously it's terrible for these seniors, especially at FSU, who had an undefeated season in top five. You know, I don't know. I know that they have an easier schedule. They're in the ACC, right, Mikey?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yeah, in the ACC. But they won all their games. They won some big games. They did everything that they had to do. Obviously, the Louisville game was extremely important, going down to a third-string quarterback. Louisville is a top-ranked offensive unit. The FSU defensive team played great. They held them to very little points, but they didn't win by strong enough margin, and ultimately that's what bangs you. And is it unfair? Absolutely. It's not right. It's unfair. It's sad for these guys because, you know, you're ultimately pinning the team down to their best player, which is a quarterback. But, you know, what happens to all the other players on the team who are still playing and winning games? It's just a slap to the face. I get why they did it, though. I mean, Alabama, to me, is right now as hot as any other team in college football. To me, I actually think Alabama has a chance to win everything. And I think they deserve to be there. The team that I think is questionable is Texas, because Texas, now they had a good strength of schedule, and they beat Alabama. But again, they beat Alabama
in
very early.
In Tuscaloosa. Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, but they beat him before Milroe was really who he is now.
I understand that.
There was a lot of questions. I mean, the next week after Texas beat Alabama, I believe Alabama played, was it Coastal Florida, was it? Or who was it? They barely beat them. It was a horrific game. They had like their second and third string quarter. So they were really trying to figure some shit out. And I think now with Saban at the helm, they've really righted the ship, and they look as good as anyone else. The other thing is Georgia, with one loss, they hadn't lost a game in almost, what, 20, I think they'd won 29 straight games, and now they get removed. So Texas being in there, it's questionable. Washington deserves to be there. They should be there for sure. And obviously Michigan should be there for sure. Those last two teams, I think Alabama deserved to be in there. Texas is the questionable one. Ultimately, somebody's going to get screwed the way that the system is. And thankfully now, moving to next year, they have this new system where you'll actually get a true playoffs where everybody can play one another. And these teams who are kind of on the cusp will have an opportunity to kind of prove themselves. And I think that that's for the betterment. But yeah, there's just no way that this was going to turn out where everyone was going to be happy.
Mikey?
Committee got it right, in my opinion. You know, there's a Whitney Houston song. It's not right, but it's okay. You know, I'm going to make it anyway. That should be Florida State's theme song. Jordan Travis will be back next year. They'll have a legitimate shot. That defense was fantastic. But here's the issue. You're down to a third string quarterback. We've seen this play out before. The first every year, the college football playoff, Braxton Miller gets hurt for Ohio State preseason. JT Barrett comes in, gets hurt in the Michigan game. Right before the Big Ten title game, they play Wisconsin. Ohio State goes out, wins 59-0, beats Wisconsin. I'm not saying that Florida State needed to beat Louisville 59-0. Florida State probably had to win that game by three touchdowns. Had Florida State won that game by three touchdowns or more and made it look like it was never in doubt, made it look like it was a strong case, they would have went on. The committee would have put them in.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. If they had blown out Louisville, I think they would. I think it would have been impossible at that point. But the fact that Louisville hangs in that game until the fourth quarter, and now the way the cards fall, I think the committee got it right leaving Georgia out. As much as people want to say Georgia is one of the best four teams in the country, they're probably correct saying that. But Bama obviously has to go in. There's no room for Georgia at that point, because you cannot put Bama in my opinion, and leave Texas out. The head-to-head, if that doesn't count for the biggest point of emphasis to get a team in the playoff, then nothing should. Texas, I understand it happened early in the year. I understand Alabama's a different team. I would say Texas is a different team too, because offensively, Texas is putting up points. They're putting up touchdowns in bunches. They are blowing teams out since the loss to Oklahoma. They're throwing.
That was a brutal loss, by the way. They should have won that game.
So they're scoring 50 points, close to 50 points a game now. That Bama the Texas Washington game should be a great game. I said it here the first week of November when we had a show after Bama LSU. I said not only can Bama beat Georgia, Bama could win the whole thing. I still believe that. I think Bama is the team that nobody wants to play right now. The way Milroe's playing, the way they're playing. Michigan's going to have a tough time against them because Michigan's offense to me doesn't look right. Michigan automatic bid, undefeated Big Ten champion. Washington automatic bid, Pac-12 champion in one of the strongest Pac-12 years I could remember in recent history for that conference. Texas to me, once Bama beat Georgia, was an automatic the way they've been playing, and a one loss Big 12 champion. Florida State, unfortunately, is really the team that
they got screwed.
They got screwed, and it's unfortunate, but again, I think this was the decision that the committee was going to make. You know, this was really how I thought it was going to play out after conference championship Saturday had ended. And that's the way it played out. And next year, nobody will have to worry about this anymore.
Mikey, if theoretically Florida State had blown out Louisville, how does that end up looking like? What do you think the top four ends up being now? If you have to put Florida State in, then who goes in? Is Alabama...
I think
Alabama goes four.
Alabama is out and Texas is in. I really think that the committee would, I personally believe that the committee would look at, there's two things to look at. How much are you going to weigh Texas's win over Alabama? Had that game been in Texas at the beginning of the year, maybe there's even more of an argument, but the fact that Texas went to Alabama and beat them in a head-to-head early in the year, then you look at who has the worst loss. Bama's loss is obviously better because it's to Texas. Texas's loss is the worst loss. I think it would have been a conversation, but I think if Florida State blows out Louisville, let's say they won 42-7 or 42-10, something like that. I think Florida State stays where they are and Texas gets that four seed and Bama finishes at five and the SEC gets left out. The problem is the committee ever going to leave the SEC out if the champion's a one loss champion?
Why would they ever do that?
Tough. But again, the argument is tough. It's even worse, I think, of a scenario for the committee because
it's tough to leave
Texas out. This was the worst. This was the most chaotic, most insane possible finish nightmare scenario for the committee ever. This was nightmare scenario for the committee to have to make this decision. But I thought that they kind of would just get away with it because again, next year, this is a moot point. It's not a conversation next year. Like, I don't think anybody's going to go to war battling for a fringe 13th seed team that didn't make the playoff. There's going to be less of an argument there.
How many teams next year make it?
12.
Now? 12. Oh my God.
So next year, the top four seeds will all get a bye. So if you're a top four seed, it's still going to mean something. You get a bye. And then the higher seeds host in their own building a playoff game, which is very cool. And then it's going to be awesome. And then after the first round, it'll go to bowl game locations. So they'll all be bowl games after that.
I bet you there's like a team that's going to be like, you know, 8, 9, or 10 that's going to upset some teams and make a big push.
I'm sure, because if it's one of those teams like a cusp team like Ohio State or Georgia, you're telling me that Ohio, like they projected what the playoff would have looked like this year with the 12 teams and those matchups, like Ohio State would have played, I think they would have played Penn State again.
Oh, man.
You know, and Georgia, like you don't think Georgia could upset somebody playing them in Georgia? I mean, they're going to be favorite throughout. Here's the crazy thing is that next year, if you're not a top four seed, you have to win four games to win the national title. Four, which is, I mean, that's a ton, man. That's NFL. You got to win wild.
But that's card, like any other, that's like anything else.
But that's a lot of games for these kids, bro. You're talking about a 16 game season
not
potential.
Really kids though. You know, I mean,
the freshmen are though, dude. I mean, like these kids, like 19
freshmen are playing.
Yeah. I mean, There's some.
The mega. I like that a lot more because it takes a lot more power out of the committee's hands.
Oh, no. Believe me, I like it too. I mean, I like it for the reason, plain and simple, that my team, odds are, is going to be in the playoff almost every year, which is awesome. Yeah. But Like, I could go to a playoff game in Columbus. That's pretty fucking cool. Like, I intend on doing that next year if they make it, if they don't get a bye. Merry Ballsmas from our friends over at Manscaped. The holidays are approaching, but what if I told you that the celebrations are starting early this year? It turns out the perfect gift does exist. And who else to bring it down your chimney than the leaders in below-the-waist grooming? Keep calm and let your balls jingle this season with Manscaped's brand new Performance Package 5.0 Ultra. Featuring the new Lawnmower 5.0, watch all your wishes and mistletoe kisses come true. Look nice when you're going naughty by going to manscaped.com and use code SPORTSMANPOD20 for 20% off and free shipping. Unwrap the gift of smoothness this season with Manscaped. Guys, let me tell you something. I got myself a Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, and it does the job. No nicks, no cuts, no ifs, ands, or buts. Gets the job done every single time. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SPORTSMANPOD20 at manscaped.com. Again, that's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com when you use the code SPORTSMANPOD20. Manscaped, get your jingle balls ready for the holidays.
Well, that kind of leads me to my next question. As far as, I've asked you guys a couple times who you guys think your true top four teams are. Committee aside, the politics aside, this team beat that team by that much, so they get in and this team doesn't. Who do you, the eye test, who is your final absolute best four teams? Not who deserves it, not who this, just the strongest four teams. Is Ohio State in there? Is Georgia in there?
Georgia should be in there.
Well, Joe, let's start with you. Who's your top four just best teams? Not who deserves it, just who are the best teams in the country?
I think Michigan, to me, looks like the best team in the country right now. And that's, I know that you don't disagree, Mikey B, but they've won.
I think their defense looks incredible. I think the offense has looked hard the last month. I think they can
run the ball so well that they really don't. McCarthy really, he just has to manage the game. Now against you guys, they couldn't run the ball. I get that. But like, to me, I think Michigan is one. I agree with Washington being two. Although I'm gonna tell you right now, Washington is going to get up. They're going to lose. They are not as good as, I mean, they have Oregon's number, but they barely beat Oregon State. They had trouble against Washington State. They played a lot of close games. If you just ask me who the top four teams are in terms of like you put these guys head to head, I would have Michigan in there. I would have Alabama. I would have Ohio State. And I would have Georgia. To me, those are the best four. If you just put them up against anyone, records aside, whatnot, those are the teams that are going to come out on top more often than not. I think those are the four strongest teams. Texas is right around there too. Florida State, if they play anybody right now with the current quarterback situation they have, they're going to get blown out. So I get why they were. When they had Jordan Travis, they were there. But that to me is Michigan. I would put Michigan, I would put Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgia.
Mikey?
I'm going to stick with three teams that I picked to make the playoff preseason. Alabama, Texas, in no order. Alabama, Texas, and Michigan, in my opinion, three of the best four teams in the country. And then the fourth team I would have is Georgia. I would have Georgia over Ohio State.
You think Texas belongs there, yeah?
I do think Texas belongs there. I think, you know why? Because Texas could play defense, and now Quinn Ewers, people that don't know, Quinn Ewers was the number one overall quarterback recruit in the country a couple of years ago when he came to Ohio State, and then he transferred out because he didn't want to wait behind C.J. Stroud. Quinn Ewers is supposed to be like a Heisman-level player, best player in the country type of player. That's who he is. If he's right and the Texas defense is right, I mean, I think they're going to beat Washington. I think they're going to beat Washington.
By the way, Mikey,
Washington, listen, I don't want to take nothing away from Washington. Michael Penix is an awesome player. I think he's incredible. I've been singing Michael Penix's praises for years since he was at Indiana. I said the kid was going to be special. He looked fucking awesome at Indiana. I remember him going against Ohio State many times. I watched him, and he would light them up. He's a great player, but their defense, I don't believe in them. I just think when push comes to shove and they play a team that could play real defense like Texas, I think it's going to be a problem for them. I just think it's going to be a problem for them. So Texas, Bama, Michigan, Georgia. Wow. I would Mikey, swap.
By the way,
I would swap whoever. Who did you? Ohio State.
I would swap
Ohio State out for Texas. Yeah,
and I didn't have any particular order too. But you know, Mikey, last year going back to Quinn Ewers, before he got hurt in that game in Texas playing Alabama, they were winning. I believe if he finishes that game, they would have beat Alabama again.
You're right. You're 100% right. That game, Texas was winning that.
He got hurt, and Alabama came back and won. But when he was playing, he was sensational that game. He looked unbelievable.
To me, I think Bama is going to win the whole thing. I do. I think Alabama is going to win the whole thing. I just feel like they have the most momentum going in. People want to talk about the fact that they shouldn't be there, and it was fourth down and 31 against Auburn. All well and good, but again, a game like that, a rivalry game, a mega rivalry game, you could throw records out the window in games like that. You just can. That's the way college football is. I don't think a lot of people get that, but I've seen teams that are undefeated lose to rivalry teams with 3-4 losses. Those games are just different. They're different type of atmosphere, different type of game. Game was in Auburn. We've seen insane shit happen. Bama, to me, is the team nobody wants to play. You saw Michigan's live reaction when they saw Bama got the 4 seed. It went viral. It's all over the internet. The Michigan players and everyone were in a room. They saw Bama got the 4 seed. It was like the air got sucked right out of the fucking room. I mean, that's bad. That's bad. And I don't believe in J.J. McCarthy. But again, Michigan fans, don't call me biased. I have you as one of the top 4 teams in the country. I just think you're going to have a tough time with Alabama.
Tick, who are your top 4 teams? I'm interested to hear what you think.
Yeah, I mean, just the eye test, who I think the best teams are right now, I think Alabama's number one. I mean, yeah, I don't think anyone's better than
me too.
Alabama.
Me too, Tick.
I think the SEC has deserved our respect as well. I think Georgia's number two. I just think these SEC teams – I know it's getting a little bit closer, but I just think they're in a league of their own, man. I think I'm going to put Georgia too. I agree with everything you said about Michigan, Joe. I put them 3. And then I put – it's between Washington and Ohio State. I don't think Texas is a top 4 team. I think they're 5, 6, 7, somewhere in there. But I think there's 5 or 6 teams better than them. Really? Fuck it, I'll go Ohio State. Their defense is also just
Ohio State is so good. I mean, they lost one game to
Michigan.
I'll go
2 Big Ten, 2 SEC.
McCord's gone now. So
yeah, he is. Yeah.
I would love to see. I think that the best case scenario for the national championship game would be Texas against Alabama. Rematch of that game. I just think it would be the best game in terms of like watching a really good game. I think it would be the best game. In my opinion, I think it would be the best game. I know people aren't buying on Texas, but I don't know, man. I don't know. Again, the only loss they have is in the Red River rivalry, which again is one
they
of the biggest rivalries.
They should have won that game, by the way.
That's why I don't take much stock in it.
They were up by 3, yeah. And Sarkisian did not have that defense. They let what's his name, Gabriel, just drive down the field.
If we are going to say Bama should be penalized or looked at differently for the fact that they barely escaped Auburn, we cannot condemn Texas for losing in that manner to Oklahoma in a rivalry game that is on the same level as Bama Auburn, the same level as the Iron Bowl. Because it is. The Red River rivalry is as big. The difference is for whatever reason, I don't know why, they shouldn't, but that game should be left for rivalry weekend as well. I hate the fact that that game is played in October. I hate it. It should be with the game Ohio State Michigan. It should be with the Iron Bowl, the Civil War,
yeah,
the Backyard Brawl, all of that. I don't know. That's the way they've always done it. So it's
that's
fine,
a great point, though, Mikey. As far as like this is still, even though I think that Alabama and a lot of people, I think Alabama is probably the best team going right now.
Yeah.
It's still not the Alabama of 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago. There's no team right now that is so obviously better than everyone else. I think all these teams in the top 4 and all the teams that I mentioned who I think should be there, they can all win. They can all play a game and they can all win on a particular day. The old Georgia teams, the old Alabama teams, you kind of knew they were going to win. But any team is gettable right now. Alabama kind of should have lost that game to Auburn.
I don't believe that Washington can win this national championship. If there's one team in the playoff right now that I think there's, I would be shocked if they won the national title. I wouldn't be shocked if Michigan did it. Wouldn't be shocked certainly if Bama did it. Wouldn't be shocked if Texas did it. I would be very surprised if Washington won. I really would if they won both games and won the national title.
Joey D.
Are there initial lines set? I know they don't play till January. No, what are the lines for these games?
So the Michigan Bama game opened at 2. Michigan was a favorite or 2.5, and it went down in the first day to -1.5. It may be even now. It may be a pick'em because this was literally the day of. They put the lines out as soon as those championship games were over, and they knew who was going
to
play whom.
If this game goes to a pick'em.
So it's -1.5 Michigan still right now, and Texas is a 4.5-point favorite against Washington.
That's everybody and their mother is going to bet Alabama.
Of course.
Yeah. I almost think I might just take Michigan, man. Yeah, I think everybody is
all the money's gonna be on Bama.
Yeah, it's all gonna be and I honestly I think I might throw a bet.
Well, it depends on how many games Stallions got to SEC this year. Depends on how many games he saw Alabama.
Oh, let's give it a rest.
They are cheaters. Let us not forget.
Oh, come on, Mikey V.
It's been proven.
Ohio State's had their own scandals, of course, too.
Yeah, tattoos every in exchange for chains. I mean, it's not like we were, you know, cheating really on food. We were just selling merchandise. I mean, you know, that is what it is. Over under 45.5, Bama, Michigan, over under 64.
Are Texas, those both on January 1st? Yeah. Those games
are both on New Year's
and
Day.
Then the 8th is the final the national championship, right?
Correct.
Is that being played?
How about this? This is how DraftKings, our good friends over at DraftKings. We love DraftKings.
We love you, DraftKings.
DraftKings has the line set for the national championship game, every possible scenario matchup. Already posted.
Are you serious?
So if it's Michigan, Washington, they have Michigan as a 6.5-point favorite. Says a lot about Washington. If it's Washington, Alabama, Bama's a 6-point favorite. If it's Texas, Michigan, Michigan is a 3-point favorite. And if it's Texas, Bama, they got Bama as a 2.5-point favorite. Oh, they have all the possibilities.
Where is the national title this year?
It is in, I want to say it's in Houston, Texas.
Wow. Last year I went in Houston, Texas. At SoFi. Yeah,
I know, I remember.
The first quarter was unbelievable and the rest of the game sucked.
You're right. I think it is in Houston, actually.
I think it's in Lucas Oil.
Right. No, that's Indiana. It's in Indianapolis.
What's the Houston, Texas stadium name?
NRG Stadium.
NRG Stadium, yeah.
That's where it is. Yep.
Let's move on to the NFL now. There's a lot of games to get to. Let's start with probably the best game of the week, other than Cincinnati and Jacksonville. That was a very good game. But let's go to Philly. Let's go to San Francisco. Let's talk about that.
Was it the best game of the week? It was a blowout.
Yeah, but it was the most intriguing game, I think,
leading into it. It was definitely the game that everyone
wanted to watch. It was
That's fair. Okay, that's
the highest ratings of all the games this week. Mikey, what'd you make of the Eagles? What'd you make of the 49ers?
I made of it a revenge game for San Francisco. I really thought the Eagles would have came in a little bit more with a chip on their shoulder. In the beginning of the game, it looked like they were going to chug along a little bit there. You know what? I'm not going to make too much of it. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that San Francisco is light years better than Philadelphia. I don't think they are. I think that San Francisco has an embarrassment of riches on offense. And what I mean, it's tough to game plan for Deebo Samuel and game plan for CMC and game plan for Kittle and game plan for Ayuk. It's a lot to worry about. It's a lot to do. Eagles have seen him now once. I'm sure they'll see him again in the playoffs unless something else happens unforeseen, because I think they're far and away clear cut the best two teams in the NFC. I think that I'm not going to put too much stock in it. I'm not going to sit here and just say San Francisco is that much better than Philly. I don't think they are. I've been a fan of Philly the whole year, what they're doing. But certainly that was a statement by San Francisco. Certainly a statement saying, you know, this is not just going to be you guys running the table and beating everybody and doing this. So, you know, hats off to San Francisco. I thought they would have put Purdy in a much tougher position. They didn't. They get Shaq Leonard. Let's see if he makes any kind of a difference. The all-pro former linebacker from Indianapolis, if he's going to make any difference. You know, they're kind of bounty hunting with, first Byard and now Shaq Leonard to try and give him even more weapons on that defense. Hopefully Jalen is not really banged up and they don't have to go with Mariota for any extended period of time because he stinks. he stinks. He stinks. He does. Nice guy. I watched the Netflix special on the quarterbacks thing. Nice guy, but he's just not
kind of boring.
He sucks.
Yeah, he's vanilla. He's very vanilla. Nice guy. Cool. Seems like a great guy. But just not the guy I would want if I'm a Philly fan right now. So hopefully they get Jalen back ASAP. I still think Swift and AJ Brown and Devontae Smith, I still think they're fine. I think they're fine. I wouldn't panic. But certainly it was a little bit of a surprise outcome, in my opinion.
Joe?
Deebo Samuel, when he is healthy and he is playing like to the level that he can play, he is one of the most, if not, I mean, maybe Tyreek obviously before him, but the most electrifying and most entertaining wide receiver to watch. He just does it all, man. He could take it out of the backfield. He could take a slant pass and just go through everybody. He's unbelievable. The Niners look good, man. The Eagles, I think they had an off week. I mean, Ticket, you called this. Tick, you should have made this your game of the week. I mean, you called, you were very affirmative. By the way, we won for three again on game of the week. So we've got to collectively
guys, I haven't won one since week one. Not
are you one. Serious?
I've called with my picks in the games, just when we go through it, I win a lot of those games, but every time I do a game of the week, I fucking lose every single one. You're right, Joe. I should have picked this one. Because I felt
very strongly about it. And me and Mikey, I actually like Mikey's game of the week with the Eagles money line. But I tell you what, man, San Francisco, when they're healthy and they're firing on all cylinders and their defense is what their defense is, this is a tough team to beat. And they are going to be tough. And you know what? Purdy is just playing smart football, making the right plays. He's got good protection. That was another big part of the problem is the Eagles just couldn't get to Purdy. And I don't know. It was a great game in essence. And then San Francisco just pulled away and it was over. It's crazy to me. I think Hurts needs to run more in these games. I think he needs to make them respect his legs a little bit more. And then hopefully that'll open something up in the passing game. I don't know. It was.
I actually disagree, Joe. I think he needs to
run. You don't think so?
I think, first of all, he's been putting himself in really bad situations when he runs. He doesn't get out of bounds quick enough. And people are expecting him to run now based on last year. And he's been getting beat up a little bit. And he's been taking a lot of licks, man. And
this is inevitable. No matter how big you are.
Burkhart or Greg Olson, one of those guys said it, like, I'd like to see him, the protection's there. I'd like to see him stick around in that pocket a little bit longer than always rolling out, always kind of fleeing the pocket. I'd like to see him stand in there a little bit more because he has the protection.
It's not the type of player he is though, really. You know what I mean?
No. Like, I don't want to change everything about him.
Let me tell you something.
He needs to trust that a little bit more.
That could get very ugly too. If you try to force him to be something he's not and he stays in the pocket, that's the issue. I feel like with the Bears and Fields and what they do with him, like they refuse to cater to his strengths and let him do what Hurts does a little bit more. Yeah. And I think that severely, causes an issue for and causes regression for Fields doing that over and over. But I still think that Jalen Hurts is going to get it done, can get it done. No question about it. But San Francisco, these players on the San Francisco team, man, when they get like something, they're very much like, I don't know, when they get something in their head, like they don't like you and they want to beat you. They're very much like a very clicky kind of outspoken, very vocal, Deebo and Ayuk and those guys and the defensive guys, Drake Greenlaw and all these guys, he got tossed on Sunday. Big Dom, by the way, that was very entertaining.
That was wild.
Free Big Dom, man. That was free awesome. Big Dom. Yeah, it was.
Well, I'll tell you this. And Joe knows all about that with the Packers. You know, when the 49ers don't fucking like you,
I've dealt with that many times.
Yeah. And I'm by no means saying that I want him to be Tom Brady standing in the pocket.
I get what you're saying.
Just a little bit more.
My point.
Go, Joe.
My point was only that the Eagles couldn't run the ball. The Eagles could establish the run, it kind of made them one-dimensional. Like, Swift, that was by far his worst game of the year. He couldn't do anything. They couldn't get the run game going. So that's the only reason why I do agree with you, Ticket, that he's got to be careful not to get hurt. I just think that had he You know, I think like in a game like that, if you can't get the run going and you have the quarterback scramble a few times and get, you know, get some first downs with their legs, it kind of makes the linebackers respect the run a little bit more and they don't just drop back in coverage because they, you know, it makes them almost one dimensional. That's the only thing I was
that,
saying.
That Niner front line, if they stay healthy the rest of the way, is just
nasty.
It's always going to be a mismatch, no matter how good of an offensive line they play. When you got Bosa and you got Chase Young and you got Arik Armstead and you got Hargrave, that is it. All those guys, if they were on other teams, could easily be the best defensive linemen on those teams. Chase Young was, in my opinion, a great get for San Francisco because it just added another guy that traditionally, if he's on, you have to double him. And you can't, because you can't double him. You can't double everybody. Those guys are so dominant. And then when they're backed up by a guy who, in my opinion, is the best inside linebacker in football, and Fred Warner.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, and Dre Greenlaw's no slouch either. I mean, they are, their front seven is so ungodly loaded that it's going to take an offensive genius really to try and crack that code and do what you can. Cause you're not going to be able to traditionally line up and just slam a running back between the tackles and say, best of luck to you. It's going to take a little bit of creativity. It's going to take a major game plan. And the Eagles have seen him once now. So I, you know, if they rematch in the playoffs, I don't expect it to look like that at all. Lopsided again, hoping that Jalen Hurts is fine.
So here's what I'll say. And I think it'll come to a bit of a shock to a lot of people based on people who've been watching me all season long. I'm not worried about the Eagles after a loss like that. I said from the very beginning, I said it last week, the Eagles are a better team than the 49ers. I think that they are. I still think that they are. My only concern is Nick Sirianni. This guy's not going to have the team ready. He's been celebrating that Chiefs win. He's been celebrating that Bills win, and he's not going to have the team ready. He's not an Andy Reid. He does not treat the team the same week to week, whether they lose, whether they win. He's very much there. He's almost like a parent that's too much of a friend than a parent. Yeah. Needs to fucking buckle down. And that is a huge, huge problem with the Eagles. The Eagles have absolutely everything they need to win a Super Bowl, minus a head coach. This guy is a
liability.
This guy stinks. A good head coach is behind the scenes. This guy loves celebrating. Like he celebrates like he threw the touchdown pass. He celebrates like he was the team that did all the work. And let me tell you something as well, because I'm sick and tired of this, and I've been saying this for a long time. The Philadelphia defense, yes, they've got studs all over the place. They've got Jalen Carter. They've got all these fucking guys, and people love to talk about it. We are 24th in the league. You people think Miami's defense sucks? We're behind them. We give up 24 points a game. Jalen Hurts knows every single game. He's never going to be able to go out there and score 21 and win a good defensive football game. He's going to have to score 28, 31, 35 points. And that is a lot of pressure on a great, great offense. It's a great offense. I mean, they can take the pressure. They can get it done. That's why we're 10-2. But this defense is a real, real fucking liability, and it needs to. There's too many good players on that defense to not be better than giving up 24 points a game, being 24th in the league. I mean, Detroit's better than us. Jacksonville's better. The Chargers are better than us. Tennessee's better than us. Miami's better than us. Cleveland's better than us. Minnesota's better. Everyone's fucking better than us.
And I don't know about that.
I'm telling you right now what the number, that's what we are. We are what the numbers say. We're 24th right now. And the last thing I'll say to button all this up, because it's something I'm very passionate about, is I get DMs every fucking day saying I'm a fake Philly fan. I'm a terrible fan. I'm awful. And you know what? No, I'm a realistic Philly fan, because you know what happens in Philly, whether it's the Phillies, whether it's the Flyers, the Sixers, or whether it's the Eagles, win the first game of the year, Super Bowl. World Series, like Stanley Cup. That's how Philly fans
They do give are. Up a lot of points.
And I don't fucking know why we are like that when all that city has done is lose.
They Most do give up a lot of points, man.
They give up a fuckload of points, man.
To bad teams.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Commanders, Patriots.
Yeah, Jets. I mean,
the liability. Yeah. It's a problem. And you know what?
Eagles, I mean, they gave up. I mean, you guys gave up 62 points in two games to the Commanders.
Yep, that's right.
That's not good. That's not good.
It's not.
And you're right. It doesn't make any sense because they got so many good players on that defense. It's got to be that secondary. Slay, maybe. I don't know. Slay passed
his Byard has got to step the fuck up. Byard,
well, he did two games ago. He had a big interception.
We
two
need
games
him every
ago.
Game, Joe. We need him every fucking game. He can't show up every other game. He's a great player who maybe he's still figuring out our defense, our coaches. Maybe he's still trying to. He has not been the guy as advertised so far. He just hasn't. He just hasn't.
You guys just got somebody from the Colts too.
Yeah. Shaq, right?
Yes. Yeah, Shaq Leonard.
Yeah, Shaq Leonard.
That'll help.
See, we keep adding pieces.
You're talking about a guy who was probably, if not the most, one of the most dominant linebackers in the game not too long ago. So, but he's had a little bit of an injury history. So, got to see if it's the same guy. A lot of Colts people tell me
it's about the chemistry of the defense. It's not always about sticking all-star teams together. It's about the chemistry and the D coordinator and the head coach pulling that all together.
Yeah, who's the coordinator? Desai?
Yeah.
Yeah, he stunk in Chicago. Because he was Chicago's D coordinator. He was not good. He's like a genius. He's got like a doctorate. He's a really smart guy, but you know, he wasn't
being
good in
the offensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears is kind of like being the mayor of Gotham City. It's a tough task.
No,
that's
defense.
A bad, tough task, man.
No,
defense. Oh, defense. He's okay, defense. Never mind. He's I take defense. It back. I thought you said offensive coordinator.
Offensive, we just don't have
offense. Oh, Commissioner Gordon.
Our defense.
Commissioner Gordon. That man hasn't slept in years, too.
Bears defense has been playing lights out, man.
It has.
I'm not talking about the defense. I thought you said offense.
Yeah.
It was a funny comparison.
It was very good. All right, guys, let's move on. I mean, I think again, I'll button all that up with saying I think Philly's going to be just fine. Don't
good for you, Tick. That's why they play 17 games, Tick.
That's exactly right. And we were 10-1 walking into that. We were just fine, you know. And I think we learned something. Hopefully, Sirianni can make some adjustments next time we see him.
By the way, you took the Niners and made a nice little bag.
That's right. So let's move on to the Packers and the Chiefs. Are the Chiefs in trouble or are the Packers rolling or is a little bit of both? Joey D, let's start with you.
Dude, I tell you what, man, the Packers, they're probably going to break my heart again this year. Not break my heart is not the right way to say it. But I was at a point with this team. I had come to the acceptance that they're going to be a bottom dweller. After losses to, the Vegas Raiders, after losses to the Steelers, the way that we lost that game, like continuous losses that we should have won. And now I believe, again, that this team is a playoff team. You look at the schedule they have left ahead of them. They got the Vikings are the strongest team. They play the Buccaneers, the Giants this week on Monday night. They got the Buccaneers. They got the Carolina Panthers. They've got the Vikings and the Bears. You're telling me that they can't win 3 to 4 of those games? They absolutely can, and I think that they're going to be a playoff team. Jordan Love has stepped up significantly, and I don't know. We talked about this a few weeks ago, how they were not calling plays that were, like, conducive to him trying to make these deep, tough throws. He's now sitting in the pocket. He's throwing the ball down the middle of the field. He's hitting tight ends on easy routes. He's making downfield passes that he can make, and it's opening up the long ball for him, and he looks really fucking good. I think this is a combination of the Chiefs. We've said it before, they don't cover often. The public loves to bet the Chiefs. They love to take them in these bigger spreads for whatever reason. I know they're the reigning champs, but they don't cover this. I think that's part of the thing.
They have to
figure it out, man. I don't know. Their offense, when teams blanket Kelce like they did, like the Packers did, there's no one guy who steps up. They have this Rashee Rice, but like he's their best receiver. They don't have that electric piece they used to have with Tyreek Hill. They don't have, they used to have Juju Smith-Schuster. They used to have at least a couple guys who could step up. Valdez Scantling looks lost. And I honestly don't know who it's going to be that's going to step up for them.
Bring Mecole Hardman back? Where has he been?
I don't know, man, but it's a problem.
I think he got hurt.
It's a problem, and I think it's a combination of the Packers look really, really good lately, and I think they're trending upwards, and the Chiefs are just struggling in these tight games. They're losing games that they traditionally would have won in the past. I still think the Chiefs are fine. I think the Packers are for real. I honestly think that they are a team that right now is playing with more and more confidence. They're the youngest team in the NFL. And, dude, I've been very critical on LaFleur. I've been very critical on LaFleur, but he's got this team playing up above expectations right now, and it's really fun to watch.
Mikey?
Yeah, I've been saying it for a couple of weeks now. I said Packers are one of the hotter teams in the league. Defensively, I think it starts with the defense for Green Bay. I think that their defense the last five games, 19 points to the Chiefs, 22 against the Lions in their building on Thanksgiving, garbage time shit. They were really – 20 points against the Chargers. We know the Chargers could score points, not against the Patriots apparently, but that's in the rain in New England. 19 and then – 3 points against the Rams a couple weeks before that. Packers defenses look better and better and better each week. And I think that's the spark for them. I will say this, Jordan Love is making throws that when I watch him make those throws, I say to myself, it infuriates me because of how good it is. He's making throws that if you're a defensive coordinator or you're a fan of the opposite team, or you don't like the Packers, the throws Jordan Love is going to make are infuriating the last couple of weeks. He is making some wow throws, not like average throws, not okay throws, good throws. He's making some wow plays just by hanging in the pocket and doing it. He's not making those dumb interceptions. He's not throwing those dumb interceptions as frequently, if at all, anymore. And A.J. Dillon's getting the ball moving a little bit on the ground. And Christian
Watson. We haven't had Aaron Jones.
You haven't had Aaron Jones. I hope Christian Watson is not hurt long-term. I hope he comes back because he's really starting to come on and look like the player he was supposed to be when they drafted him out of North Dakota State. So, you know, Green Bay has got it all in front of him, and Green Bay can make a run, at least for a wild card spot at the very least, I think. I think they're that team right now that not a lot of teams are going to want to play. I don't think a lot of teams want to play them because they'll hit you in the mouth, and then the offense is scoring. The offense is scoring points. So, the Packers are in good shape right now. The Chiefs, on the flip side, I wouldn't be too concerned if I was a Chiefs fan. I mean, you know, Matt Nagy's there, so that's always a concern. If you got Matt Nagy roaming your sidelines with a headset on, I don't think that anything positive, I don't think Mateo. Anything positive could ever come of that, Mateo. And, you know, I the Chiefs, though, you know, you got Mahomes, you'll always be involved. But, man, Mahomes sometimes, man, and, like, nothing taken away. He's the best. Yeah, I understand. Two Super Bowls, he's the best. He makes some interceptions.
Well, that interception the other night was, but that interception the other night was an incredible catch from our linebacker. That was an
incredible catch, but the ball shouldn't have really been thrown. It was a bizarre throw. I know it was an outstanding play, but I'm not saying Mahomes has been so lucky over the course of his career. A lot of times, yeah. Dropped interceptions, phantom calls, just you know, it's just like, I don't know. Like, of course, you want him with the ball on the game on the line. I'm not saying that, but here's what I'll say. Mahomes, if you're a Chiefs fan, you've been watching him long enough to know that Mahomes will give the other team an opportunity to make a play on the defensive side of the ball and flip the momentum. He does take insane risks sometimes, and that comes with the territory of his incredible abilities. Also comes the chance that he's going to turn the ball
over. Yeah, I agree with that.
So if you're watching and you're playing the Chiefs, I think you always have that feeling like, okay, he could do something a little crazy and we could get right back in the game. If I'm a Chiefs fan, that's what I'm worried about. Their pass catchers, again, they're just not – their wide receivers just aren't – they don't strike any fear into you. Kelce, to me, he's the best tight end maybe of all time. Does he scare me the way he scared me in years past? No. No, he doesn't.
They got to get this Taylor Swift chick out of the building.
That's every tight end anywhere, though. You need good receivers on the ends to open a guy like Travis.
Yeah, I mean, but there's a few, you know, Gronkowski, Anthony Gonzalez, Travis Kelce. There's a handful that could just strike fear into you by themselves. And I feel
like Jimmy Graham for a few years there as well.
Yes, I just don't feel like Kelce is that – Antonio Gates. I just don't feel like he is that level anymore. I think he's just fallen off just a smidgen to the point where he's not like a killer, like he's going to just destroy you, one man wrecking crew. Pacheco, I still think they should really, really keep running Pacheco. Pacheco is a dog. He's a dog. So that's good going for him. But I'm going to give more credit to the Packers. I'm going to give more credit to the Packers in this situation.
I like that. I agree with that. Mikey, you tell me what you think about this, because do you remember when Tony Romo was the quarterback of the Cowboys? And all I heard, especially towards the second half of his career, was this guy cares more about golf than he does about football. And that was a huge knock on him. I felt like I heard it every season. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, why are they not receiving the same kind of criticism about
Mahomes just won a Super Bowl though, Tim.
I think they're shifting. I think they're too big to fail. I think they have that mindset. And I think there's a lot of other things. Michael Jordan loved basketball and he loved kicking people's ass. That's all he gave a shit about.
But he golfed all the time.
But then he turned to golf afterwards, but it was always an afterthought. But I think Mahomes, I don't know. I'm starting to think that
Younger generation players, and you could say what you want, and you could call me boomer, you could say whatever you want. You can't tell me that these guys, well, Mahomes sometimes, I can't say that. Cause when they're in the heat of battle and they're playing the game, you could tell that there is intense of competitors as you'll ever see. But in terms of consuming their lives, there's only a certain group of guys who really had that, you know, Brady, Peyton Manning, Michael Jordan, like those guys, it's just different types of guys. Those are whole life. Their whole life. Like that Brady, I just put up a story yesterday of Brady at some interview, and he was saying, you know, I never had friends on other teams.
That was awesome.
I was never friends with, and you know what? I miss that mentality, because when my team loses to a rival and they're hugging each other after the game, I hate that shit.
I will say though, Mikey, both Josh and Patrick, they are intense competitive. Like they want to win.
I just said that.
I know, but and I will also say this, that when they play a bad game, they will put their hand up. They will take accountability.
Yes, they do.
They don't make excuses. Like they want to win. I think it's hard to differentiate now with all the social media aspect everything that is. It used to be football players played football. Now football players are on Netflix. Now football players are on Instagram. Now they're doing this. Kelsey is on every commercial. You can't watch a series of commercials without this guy on. You can't tell me
you could only imagine with some of these guys. And like Boomer Esiason on the radio says, well, like these older school guys, like if there was social media around when they played, like you wouldn't even believe what they were getting into. And like nobody really knows about that.
A big Boomer and Geo guy?
Yeah, I love Boomer and
Geo. You hear them talk about Perez?
Yeah, of course. Boomer.
Boomer, he is huge.
Boomer and Carton were the best. I don't like Gio personally. I don't. I just think that he's.
Oh, he's a big supporter of the brand.
I mean,
is he?
He watches Bob the Sports all the time.
Yeah, he watches because he likes Perez. I get. Yeah, he's a supporter. I don't care for him. But Boomer, I love. But anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, the old generation of player did so many things that, I mean, was involved with so much stuff that you would never know about. The problem is now, like you said, these guys' lives are an open book with all the social media stuff. So you could say like, oh, well, he was, you know, it was like the same thing with Odell Beckham when he went on the boat with all the Giants players before that practice game.
You know what I mean? Terrible.
Like, you can't tell me that groups of players didn't do shit like that in the 80s and the 70s. You just never saw it. But that being said, I think it was a bad decision, and Odell Beckham really shouldn't have done that. But
Mikey, I have a question for you, and Ticket too, actually. Do you guys think, A, do the Packers make the playoffs, and B, do you think it's the last wild card? Do you think they get a higher seed wild card?
What's their schedule like? What do they have?
Told you they have the Giants this week, then the Buccaneers, then the Carolina Panthers, then the Vikings, and then the Bears.
Oh, that's a loss.
I think they do make the wild card then.
Imagine it comes down to Packers, Bears, and they have to.
You would love that.
To get into the playoffs.
You would love a lie. By the way, I heard. Did you hear Big Cat this morning talking on? I saw a clip on. I think it was part of my take where he was just infuriated at how good Jordan Love is.
Yeah, and how, yeah, like, I heard it. Yeah, he goes, life is not fair. And it's
if
bullshit.
He could say, like, if there could be a world where it could come down to the last game, like what the Lions did to the Packers last year, the last game of the season, where the Bears could knock the Packers out from making the playoffs.
Down, if it comes down to Bears-Packers with Bears having the chance to knock the Packers out, I will go fly out to Chicago and watch a game with him. I will watch that game with him because that
he
is
said
something,
it's like his, it'll be his
something
Super
I would
Bowl.
Like to do. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah.
It's got to be infuriating for you guys seeing how good Love looks. Like
yeah, this. I mean, it is for sure.
Well, I'll say this. I haven't really given.
I think the Packers. How about this? I think the Packers are the best team in the NFC behind San Francisco, Dallas, and Philly.
Is there a chance they could still win the division?
I think they might be better than Dallas. They're more consistent.
Oh, no.
They put out a more consistent product.
I cannot say that.
Dak is not consistent. Okay, all right. Well, what I'll say about that game is I agree with what you guys all said about Jordan Love. I think this guy's making elite throws, man. This guy looks like the real fucking deal.
They're better than the NFC South champ, whoever that's going
to
be.
What I will say is that one drive that led to a touchdown, Collinsworth, I mean, say what you will about Collinsworth, I think he actually said it pretty well. Jordan Love threw that teardrop throw up in the
air. Oh, what a throw.
And he said a prayer. This guy said a prayer. I don't think that was a throw that – I don't put that in the upper echelon of like, oh, that would a throw. I think he threw that thing up and good things happened. And then to finish the drive, Christian Watson made an incredible fucking catch as well. That was more on the catch than the throw. But all that aside, Jordan Love looks really fucking impressive. And I think those early losses that you're talking about, Joe, to the Raiders, I think that's just growing pains of his first year as being a starting quarterback. You know,
yeah, you got to go through that.
Now he's becoming the guy that he really is. And the last thing I'll say about that game too, because this is the most infuriating thing about the NFL and the NFL fans is everyone at the end of that game is talking about the pass interference, which it was. It was absolutely pass interference. But what people seem to just forget out of their mind was a call of unnecessary roughness on a guy hitting Patrick Mahomes two plays earlier when Mahomes needs to get out of bounds. He's still running because who has seen Mahomes juke a guy and get 15 extra yards? Mahomes needs to get the fuck out of bounds. And the fact that was 15 yards right there. So that was your makeup call. Don't just say it was pass interference at the end of the fucking game because you got a fucking call that should never have been called for 15 free yards. And that shit gets under my skin when people pick one penalty to say that's why
it was bad officiating on all fronts between the Mahomes call, the pass interference on Scantling, which was absolutely pass interference. As a Packers fan, I will take that one and just own it. And then even potentially now, I don't think they would call it on the last play of the game with the Hail Mary. There's guys just jumping up for a jump ball. But you could have called pass interference there too. Guy was holding Kelsey. But there was just a lot of missed calls. And officiating has been bad all around
this year
in the NFL. It's been a bad year for officiating.
I agree. All right. Well,
the officiating's fucking never been worse.
Exactly. It's never been fucking worse. Let's continue on that train. Let's move to the Jacksonville game versus Cincinnati. A lot happened there. A lot of bad officiating, a lot of injuries, a lot of back and forth. Jake Browning, is he the real deal or was that a good week?
No.
Joe, well, all right, Joe, you kick it off here. What do you think of that game?
This is classic Jags, man. As soon as you think that they're going to take the next step to just dominating and taking the division in control and being that team that is a contender, they blow a fart in the wind against a team that's without their top quarterback, and they made Browning look like Joe Burrow. It was a horrific defensive performance from the Jags. They also didn't make plays on offense until they were close to down and out. And they just didn't take over the game. Don't tell me, by the way, that the defense made a huge play on that Boyd interception. The guy, he basically threw it right to the defender who was standing there. I mean, that was the only takeaway they had in the game. I just think the Jags, man, they just – maybe it's Peterson. Maybe it's the team. They're not used to being like a perennial threat, like as a top team that's contending for the Super Bowl. But they just have these letdown games in positions where they should come out and they should smack Cincinnati in the mouth. And they just let them hang around. And then before you know it, a couple injuries and they're gone. I think the loss of Christian Kirk early on the first play of the game was a huge loss because he opens up the field a lot. And Calvin Ridley is a guy who looks like he can be sensational, but then also just disappears for stretches of the game.
They finally threw the ball to Evan Ingram. See what he's capable of. Yeah. Guy's a stud. Man, guy's a stud.
You look like the best player on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, well, he was a great player with what, the Giants, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Giants never really – he had the dropsies a lot in New York for whatever reason. He would drop a lot of balls, but he – I mean, he's a weapon, man. He's a legitimate weapon. The Jags – listen, man, I think the Cincinnati Bengals – I think we have to remember that the Cincinnati Bengals are an excellent football team, apart from the fact that Joe Burrow is there. Joe Burrow is one of the best quarterbacks in the league, no doubt about it, but that's not like some – shit bum team like that doesn't have talent like Joe Mixon, Tyler Boyd, Jamar Chase is a top three receiver in the league probably. So I mean they are not some kind of bum team that like once the quarterback's out they're just gonna fall apart. They're built. The defense when Hendrickson is back in there and Hubbard's going, that D line is good. So to me, listen, I just think that they're a decent football team. They're a good football team. And Jake Browning was good at Washington. He was a very good quarterback. They put him in a position where he didn't have to do – they didn't really ask him to do that much. A bunch of his throws were under 4 or 5 yards to start the game, get him into a rhythm. Once he was in rhythm, I mean, he looked fine. He looked very comfortable. So we'll see where that goes from here out for Cincinnati. But – Jacksonville, listen, Lawrence has to be okay for them to be like CJ Beathard ain't gonna get it done. So no. They need Trevor Lawrence because he is a dual threat
quarterback. Iowa, man. How is he a backup quarterback in this?
He's terrible.
Hundreds and hundreds of college quarterbacks every fucking year come out. CJ Beathard from Iowa, who sucked there.
Yeah, I think Lawrence's legs are such an underrated part of his game. And I'm not talking about him running around like Lamar Jackson or Justin Fields. I'm talking about him just being able to move the pocket and create plays when plays aren't there. And that's not what you're going to get out of Beathard. And I think the Jaguars desperately need that. I mean, listen, the Jags defensively, they have a guy that's going nuclear. Josh Allen this year is going nuclear on that Jags defense. I mean, sacks and interceptions and all this shit. I mean, he's been incredible for them. So, again, I just think it's a high ankle sprain. He'll be back and hopefully soon for Jacksonville. Jacksonville ain't dead. I mean, they're not dead. They're right still in the mix of it. I just think Cincinnati's a decent enough team to win without Burrow. A couple games here and there. That's all.
Jacksonville defense better than the Eagles, by the way. Just off the bat out there. They're giving up less points. All right, guys. There's a few other games I'd really like to get to, but we're short on time here. I really want to talk about the Chargers and the Patriots, but maybe we can talk about it when we talk about Week 14. Let's start with Thursday night's game. Another barn burner for primetime TV and the NFL product. We've got the Patriots heading to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's getting 6 points. Mikey?
No, Pittsburgh's giving 6, right? Pats are favored 6?
Yeah. No, Pittsburgh's favored.
Yeah, Trubisky, guy has experience. He's been to the playoffs a couple times. I'll take Pittsburgh because New England is a train wreck. The fact they should have squeezed out that game against the Chargers because their defense, they made the Chargers look so stupid again. And if Staley loses that game, maybe he gets canned on the spot if he loses that game. So I mean, they're just so bad that I don't think it matters. Trubisky, listen, let me tell you something. Trubisky could throw the ball a little bit. Biscuit could throw the ball a little bit. He can. And I don't know. Is he that much of a downgrade from Kenny Pickett? I don't know.
Biscuit.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that his nickname? Truby. Yeah. Biscuits. Yeah. 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 Or Maserati Mitch. I don't know why they're going to call him. Truby, I think, give me the Steelers. And I think Najee's a little banged up, which is good for the Steelers. Give the ball to Warren more. Pickens looks like he was getting targeted a little bit more with Mitch out there. I think the Steelers could cover this number.
Joey D?
You know that the last 3 weeks, New England has given up 10 points or less on defense, and they have lost all three games. They have scored.
Who were their last three games, though? The Chargers at home, it was a rainstorm in the cold, so that kind of.
The week before, they lost 10-7 against the Giants.
Giants don't have an offense.
They lost 10-6 against the Colts.
Colts have an offense.
Colts have an offense.
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
all I'm saying is that the defense is giving this team opportunities. The offense has scored 13 points in three games. Do you know how horrid even tonight is going to be to watch?
Tomorrow night.
It's going to be terrible. It is just not a team that can put up.
Well, actually, when people see this tonight, so that's a very good call.
My point is that Ezekiel Elliott, if he's one of your top offensive players, you've got issues, man. You have serious issues. Yeah. And I just don't – I think this is a classic case. Belichick is done. He's already looking on to next season. Lord knows where he goes. He will not be with the Patriots. I can tell you that right now. And I think he's – I mean, maybe that's a brash statement. I think he either is going to retire or he's going to move to another team because he looks – disinterested, he looks done, and this team is in shambles. So 6 points is a lot.
The lowest point total in I don't know how long in an NFL game.
What is 30, it at?
30 points.
I have 29 and a half.
3-0. There you go.
Yeah.
I mean,
that tells you everything.
I mean, it's not a game you could take the over. It's just not. I don't care. I don't care. I know you're gonna say to yourself that's so low. There's a reason why it's so low. The under probably cruises in.
Are you taking the Steelers?
I will take the Steelers to cover. Okay. I'm not going to touch this game, I don't think, on my own personal. You know
what? Thursday always comes around, and we always take something. So.
Yeah.
Well, there's lots to take. You could take a player prop, or you could take a quarter.
I can't wait to see the team half totals. They got to be historically low. They have to be so low that it's good. You know what? Steelers first half total team over, whatever it is.
Biscuit can throw the ball a little bit.
Biscuit can throw the ball a little bit. He can. Yeah. He can and he will.
He'll run for more yards than he'll pass, probably.
To this day,
I don't. The Patriots, whoever's managing that team, I mean, it's Bill. Why they let go of Jacoby Myers, their only offensive player, who's a great receiver. He's had some injury issues in Vegas, but he is a great offensive weapon. He could have brought a lot of value to that team this year. They sure as fuck need him this year. Why they just let these guys go for pennies on the dollar, I don't know.
He was done with him after that last play when he gave the ball up and against the Raiders.
I'm just saying
he gave the game away, and shockingly, then he ends up becoming a Raider after that.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, to keep it moving, I'll take the Steelers as well. You just can't put money on the page. You just can't. I'll bounce around here for time's sake. Next game we're going to go to is the Sunday night game, which is Eagles in Dallas.
Yeah, it's a great game.
Dallas is giving 3.5 points. Mikey, what do you think of that game?
I think it's going to be, listen, Dak, at some point, Dak has to beat this team. He's got to beat this team. He's got to beat a serious contender in the NFC at some point. Dallas has been hot. Yes, they let Seattle hang around. Yes, they gave up a lot of points to Seattle, more points than I thought they would to Seattle, a lot more, which is concerning. But, you know, I just think Philly and Dallas is a classic NFC East brawl. It's a battle. It's going to be a bruising game, a hard-hitting game. The Eagles going to have a major, you know, chip on their shoulder, something to prove. This game is impossible to pick without knowing if Jalen Hurts. Is Jalen Hurts playing ticket or is he not?
Yeah, he's going to play.
Okay. I got to take the Eagles plus 3.5. The hook. I'll take it because of the hook, and that's the only reason. I think if Dallas wins, it'll be a field goal. I don't know. But then again, if Dallas blows their doors off, this game is impossible. It's an impossible game, but I'll take the Eagles plus 3.5. Not a game I would touch. Just not.
Joey D?
And the over-under is 51.5. I don't know.
It's a decently high total in the NFL.
Yeah, give me the Eagles here. I think the Eagles bounce back after a tough loss at home. Yeah. I think, you know, say what you want about Sirianni, but they rarely drop two in a row. They rarely have clunker games two in a row. And by the way, Dallas has been playing some shitty teams. They've been winning them convincingly, don't get me wrong. But last week
that's what Dallas does. They beat
last week we thought that they were gonna roll.
Yes.
And they didn't roll. They did not look nearly as good as they could have. And to be quite honest, there was a point in time I thought Seattle was gonna win that game. So give me the Eagles. What is it, 3.5?
3.5, yeah.
I almost want to make
the game sucks. Thing. Game sucks, man. It's yeah. a great game. It's a great game, but it's just not a game.
Give me the Eagles with the 3.5. I don't. If it was at 3, I would feel very strongly about the Eagles. But 3.5, give me the Eagles.
Take over 9.5 points first quarter if you're going to take anything. I think that's something that I really like.
I think this is a perfect line. I think the Eagles lose the first 3 quarters of this game. I think Dallas is up most of this game. I think the Eagles, Jake Elliott, long 60-yard field goal, wins the game. They win.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
Something like that. I think Dallas is going to come out first half, hit him in the fucking
mouth. If Elliott could hit a 60-yarder in the fucking rain in the wind against Buffalo, he could hit a 70-yarder in fucking AT&T Stadium.
Yeah, no shit.
This guy is a top 3 kicker, by the way, and he ain't 3. It's Justin Tucker, and then it's him. This guy's unbelievable, man.
Don't forget about Young Hoku.
Sure, Young Hoku.
Young Wei.
Young Wei. Yeah. That is how you pronounce it.
Young Wei.
I'm sick of hearing about Evan McPherson, by the way. What a hot and cold kind of kicker.
This guy's lost me more prop kicking bets. That's a guy you cannot prop kick.
He owes Mikey a paycheck.
He owes me a bag. He ruined a 5-teamer for me. Scumbag.
So I'm going to take the Eagles here. I think they win, seconds clicking off the clock there. And I think the Eagles win with a late game field goal. I think they're losing most this game, but I think they end up pulling it out. By the way,
this Dallas kicker is unbelievable too. Aubrey. He's unbelievable.
Very good.
Yeah. Unbelievable. This is a game of two great kickers. This is going to be interesting.
I think there's going to be a lot of field goals in this game. I think his feet will be pushed to the fire.
You know what? I'm going to make this my game of the week. I'm taking the Eagles game of the week.
That's wild, Joe.
Plus 3.5. I'm making this my game of the week.
All right.
Actually, no, I'm not.
Okay. That was 15 seconds.
Great. Okay.
I feel strongly about the Eagles. Okay.
That was great.
All right. Well, moving on here. It's not your game of the week, so we'll move on.
No.
We're going to move to Chicago. Lions are coming in to play the Bears, and I normally would have skipped this game, but I think the Bears are playing a little bit better football than I think, and the Lions look – they're trending in the wrong direction. Joey D's got his hand up, but Detroit is giving 3.5 points. Joey D?
The reason I didn't take the Eagles-Cowboys game of the week is because this is my game of the week. And I am taking the Chicago Bears. I am taking those newfound pesky Bears.
They are pesky. They are a little pesky, aren't they? They're a little pesky.
Let me tell you something.
They are pesky. That's a great word.
They got banged in Detroit. They should have won that game.
They sure should have.
They had to watch a dear friend of the pod, Aiden Hutchinson, punt the ball out of the end zone on a safety after they gave up a game that they should have won. And then they had a bye last week, but then the next game they come out and they punch the Vikings and they played awful and they still found a way to win. The defense is playing well. The Lions are on a skid right now. I took the Lions last week. By the way, they covered. This week, the Chicago Bears are my game of the week. How many points are they getting?
3.5. Getting
I see draft.
I actually think the Chicago Bears, I might even sprinkle money line.
Wow.
Joe's been hot this year. He's been pretty good on his game of the weeks.
His game of the weeks have been elite.
I've been firing, man. And the Chicago Bears are in a place right now. This is personal. It's a divisional game. They always play the Lions pretty hard. Yeah. And they're at home, and they have some momentum going right now.
Yeah, sure.
That's my game of the week.
Sure. Mike, if you like this game.
He likes the Lions.
Yeah, I do. I do. I think here's the thing is I agree with everything Joe said. The Bears defense is playing lights out lately, but still offensively, they are just a clusterfuck. They are a clusterfuck offensively. Fields completing a lot of passes, but they just don't let the guy throw the ball down the field.
They got to use and, more.
Yeah.
Use him more.
I mean, he had 11 catches last week or whatever it was. He went fucking.
And nuclear. That's, and they won the game. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, use I know, but they more. Won the game, but they barely, they couldn't even score like two touchdowns. They scored one touchdown.
DJ Moore is a top five wide receiver in the league. You give him a quarterback.
He's a monster.
Top 10.
He's a monster. I think he's a top five guy, man. He's unbelievable.
Listen, if it's 3.5, I'll take the Bears, I suppose. But I'm seeing it at 3. I think the Lions. Give me the Lions.
You don't think Jared Goff is going to turn the ball over a couple times in this game?
Yeah, I mean, he has traditionally when he comes to Chicago. He's had
Montez Sweat. He's causing some havoc up there.
He is. You know what? Give me the Bears.
Atta boy.
This fucking guy talked me right into it. Give me the Bears plus the 3.5.
I think they're going to win the game.
Good. I'm going to take the Bears too. And you're right, Joe. I think they're going to win the game too. I would even take the Bears money line. I think they're going to win this game. But moving on here to Joe's favorite team in the entire league. You might think it's the Packers, but it's actually the Indianapolis Colts.
Jonathan Taylor's out, man. So tough.
The Colts are heading to Cincinnati.
Zach Moss is good.
I have Taylor in fantasy.
The Colts are taking on the Bengals, and it's basically a pick 'em. The Colts are giving 1 point. Mikey, who do you like there?
I like Cincinnati at home. I think Jake Browning's going to surprise some people again because I think his team is really good. I think he has an excellent supporting cast. They got to stop. They should never run a trick play ever again. The Bengals should never run a trick play ever again. Those are the worst two trick plays I've ever seen in my life. As long as Cincinnati doesn't run a trick play, I'll take Cincy at home against the
Colts. Is Jake Browning Washington? Is that where he was?
Yes.
He was Washington, right?
Washington, yeah. Yes.
Four-year starter, I think.
He's great. He took him to the playoff.
That's right. Yeah. Joey D, who you like there?
I like the Colts.
Yes, he does.
They've won four games in a row.
They're a top team. Yeah, they are.
And
they
you know what? By the way, Minshew is playing pretty good football. Like he's making plays and Michael Pittman Jr., you want to talk a guy who is underappreciated as a wide receiver for what he can do? This guy's electric. He can make plays. And Tiki, you said it perfectly. He'll be shut out in the first half, and all of a sudden he's got like two touchdowns and 100 yards in one half. And I think as long as they utilize him, listen, they have no Taylor. Zach Moss is still a very competent running back. He can hit the hole hard. And Minshew's making plays. This is still a Bengals team without their starting quarterback. They have problems on the offensive line still. And I think the Colts defense, I think their defensive line is pretty strong. I think they get to Browning, maybe get a couple turnovers. It's going to be an ugly game, but give me the Colts to cover. There's what, minus one?
Yeah, it's basically a pickup.
Yeah, I'll take the Colts. I'll take the Colts. I love the Colts.
I agree. I think Michael.
We know that.
They have a great color scheme too. That blue and white looks. Yeah. It looks
like that.
Really slick. Yeah, like it does. Too.
It's no nonsense. It's just very. There's not a lot going on. It's just slick. It's
kind of I don't know when I turned into a Colts guy. This happened over like the course of like this year.
Yeah. I think Michael Pittman is also – I think Michael Pittman Jr. is one of the best receivers in the league, but it's true. I have him on my fantasy team. I'll look at halftime every single fucking time.
You get so mad.
0.0. And then the game ends, he's got 27 points. If the Colts remember that he is on their team in the first half and they play four quarters of football throwing the ball to that guy, they'll win more often than they lose. I'll tell you that. And I like the Colts to win this game as well. This is actually gonna be my game of the week. I like the Colts minus.
Oh, the
Titans take the Bengals every game of my.
somebody buy.
I also take note. Bigs. I look back. I take big spreads.
Yeah, too. You love big spreads.
I don't know what's going on. The Cowboys let me down last week. Anyway, I like the Colts.
Yeah, that was a lot of
give me the Colts minus one. Let's move on to potentially the game of the week. The two AFC powerhouses, Bills, heading to Kansas City, heading to Arrowhead. Kansas City is giving 1.5 points. Joey D, who do you like there?
What is that? A 4 o'clock? Yeah, 4:30. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good game, man.
Okay.
That should be a Sunday night or Monday night game. But you know what we have instead? We have Titans, Dolphins, and Packers, Giants. Why are the Bills, Chiefs a 4:30 game? Give me Thursday night. Give me Sunday night. Give me Monday night.
Right. How about Thursday night?
He just said that.
Oh, yeah. Did he say Thursday? Yeah.
He did. He did.
4:30 game. We're getting Titans, Dolphins instead. So
Titans, Dolphins is brutal. Well, they can't flex the Monday nights. That's why. Monday nights are set in stone.
Sunday night, we're getting
Sunday night I don't know why that's not getting flexed. I don't know why. Nice. I don't know if they're at that time of the season where they start flexing yet, or if that's next week. It should be soon.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So anyway,
I like the
Joey D, who do you like?
I think I take the Chiefs with the win here at home at Arrowhead. The Bills have some big problems on defense. But mind you, on the other side of the ball, the Chiefs. Yeah, you know, their offense has looked like it's not hitting on all cylinders like before. I think that Mahomes at home, no pun intended, is just he's a different animal. I think he does enough. Listen, you need a field goal to win this game. I think the Chiefs can easily do that. I will take the Chiefs in this slate.
Mikey?
You know, I think the Bills are going to win this game. I do.
Really?
I do. I think the Bills.
I hope they do.
I think the Chiefs are a little soft. I think the Chiefs are a little soft this year. I don't look at them and see them as killers anymore this year. This year, I just don't. I don't view them like that. Maybe not. I think Buffalo goes in there, big attitude.
Buffalo's got to win this game.
Coming off a bye, no?
Yeah. Buffalo has got to win this game.
Two weeks to prepare with that bad taste in their mouth from that Philly game. A horrible taste left in their mouth. You know what? Game of the week, Bills on the road to upset the Chiefs. Give me the Bills as my game of the week to upset the Chiefs. And everyone knows I've been off the Bills a lot this year. I have been. Yeah. I think that with 2 weeks to prepare, if they lose this game, the Buffalo Bills, they ain't winning nothing this year.
I hope to God that Josh has a good game, because if he doesn't, Mikey is going to go off.
No. Because, I mean, listen, he had a great, I said, I thought that they had turned a corner against Philly. Even though they lost that game, I think that the Bills turned a corner against the Eagles, even though they lost. I think it was improbable the way that they lost the game with that field goal. I think that field goal
that was wild.
Was one of the most miraculous things I've ever witnessed in football. Ever.
In that
ever.
Weather?
In the conditions it was in. Bills, turn the corner. 2 weeks to prepare. Tougher team. Chiefs are soft. Matt Nagy stinks. Bills. Outright. Game of the week.
Was that more surprising than Vermont getting that upset?
No.
Mikey, did you do for the Kangaroo cooler? Did you do the Alabama game? Points?
No. Did you say I put up Vermont against Yale?
No, I saw that, but I'm saying that the you could have used the Kangaroo coolers for that Alabama Hail Mary on 4th and 31.
Against Auburn? Yeah, but I don't know what that was spread wise, really. It didn't really do anything because if you were an Auburn money line better, that's a really bad beat. But what I saw in this Yale game, and if you haven't seen it, Yale was up 5 points with 3.8 seconds left, and Vermont won the game 66-65 in regulation with 3.8 seconds. It wasn't even what happened wasn't even possible. You got to look at it. It's crazy what happened in that game. But Bills my game of the week. I think the Bills beat the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are a little soft, and I think the Bills are going to be playing very, very motivated football. Very motivated.
Over under is 48.5. I love the over in this game. I think the offenses, I think it's a game of two guys who are so competitive, and they get extra competitive when they
this game
each other.
Yeah. Yep.
I think it's going to be a bit of a shootout. I think Isaiah Pacheco has a fucking huge game against that Bills defense.
Wow. If they stay committed to that, though, if they stay committed, because if the Bills go up a touchdown or two and they start throwing the ball every play, I just don't believe in these Chiefs pass catchers. I just don't. Rashee Rice is a nice player.
Mahomes is a gamer, man. If he's going to show up.
He is.
Yeah. So anyway, give me the Bills. I like the Bills.
There you go.
I like the Bills plus 1.5. Okay, let's get into our viewer questions of the week. Apologize for not doing Who's a Problem, but, you know, we all got things to do, and we will surely get back to it next week. But let's do some questions. This first question comes from Dan Larch. Who is winning punt, pass, kick between you three?
Well, Tick's winning the kick. Apparently, he could kick 40 yarders.
So. Yeah, I'm coming in last. My right knee is, like, all fucked up. There's no chance. There's no chance.
Yeah, Joe.
Pass maybe, but punt, kick and punt, no.
I was telling Joe this the other day because he was furious about a guy who almost fucked up a punt return. Catching a punt, I played high school football, and Michael, you have as well. Watching that ball fly.
That's not easy.
That's one of the harder things to do.
But when you call a fair catch, you know you're not going to get hit. All you have to do is watch the ball and catch it. There's not, like, I understand if you're trying to catch the ball and maneuver around people who are trying to hit you. When you do this, you should catch that ball. It should not even be, I mean, like, that's they're paid professionals.
It's hard though, man. That ball is spinning, dude. It's an awkward ball. It's hard. I'm just saying it's hard, man.
You know, it's not a bad idea if you're up, like, you know, a touchdown or two and you're punting the ball away. Maybe not a bad idea to actually hit the guy when he calls for fair catch and just take the penalty, because he may be gun shy. You may fuck him up for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
And just eat the penalty.
It's a 15-yard penalty. That's it.
Yeah. Just eat it. Fuck it. If it's a deep punt inside the 20 and you just fucking steamroll the guy. Now, every time he's calling a fair catch, he's going to be thinking about that. It's got to happen early in the game. I don't know. Could be interesting.
Could be. All right. Good question there, Dan. Next one comes from Joe Woolway. Is Dak now the favorite for MVP?
Yes. That's a simple answer.
Yes, unless I'll say this with a caveat. Yes, unless CJ Stroud and the Texans somehow win the rest of their games,
or if win their division. If they win their division,
if the Texans win the rest of their, if the Texans go into New York and CJ Stroud hangs up a big number on that Jets defense, which I don't think he's going to do. I think he's actually going to have a tough time this week. I think it's going to be a clunker game for him, and he hasn't had one yet. I just feel like this is a bad spot for CJ after that big win that they just had last week. Again, another improbable win for them. I just think this is a really tough spot for him, but if they somehow do, I think Stroud really is firmly in the MVP conversation. Dak's got to be favorite now. But watch out for CJ Stroud. And I don't think Jalen is dead and dusted. And by the way, Brock Purdy's got to be firmly in the, I don't agree with
they've lost a bunch of games though. I mean,
they have, but he's putting up numbers, you know. And but also again, for McCaffrey. Me, for Purdy, he's got so many good players.
Can McCaffrey be in that conversation?
McCaffrey could be. Tyreek Hill could be in. Tyreek Hill's going to hit 2,000 yards.
Let's see the odds right now. So the odds right now for MVP, as it sits today, why is it not there? Offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year, rookie coach comeback. I don't know why.
I think Dak plus 300. I think Purdy was like plus 320. And then I think Mahomes was up there, and so was Hurts.
This is ridiculous that it's not there.
I think McCaffrey, I think I saw McCaffrey at like plus 1,200.
Here we go. And I think Tyreek Hill should be in the conversation too, man. I mean, he's not going to get it.
Brock Purdy is the favorite right now. Purdy is the favorite. He's plus 300.
Over Dak?
Yep. Yeah, Jalen is plus 350. Dak is plus 350. Tua is plus 850.
It's almost the same. It's almost
Tua and Mahomes are plus 850. Lamar plus 900. CMC plus 1600. CJ Stroud plus 3000. So,
yeah.
Now, listen, though, the Texans could still win their division. If the Texans won their division, then I think CJ Stroud catapults up. They're one game behind the Jags.
Yeah.
Who now have an injured Trevor Lawrence, and Kirk looks like he's out for a little while too.
Yeah. I mean, Lawrence escaped a real serious injury. It seems like,
thank God.
I thought it was an Achilles there for a minute, but he seems like he'll be all right for next year.
He might play this week.
He could. He was limping in a way that made, we'll see. I hope he does. I love the kid. Let's do one more quick one and then we'll get out of here. This one comes from James Pender. When Scott Hansen sadly moves on, who would be his best replacement from your group? Or I'll even open that up. Who do you just think would be his best replacement in general? Who do you
from
think
our group of friends?
Yeah, that's the question, our group of friends. But so give us that. And then also just who do you think in general would just be a
I think Bob would be sensational.
I do too. I think Bob would. I think he's, he's a little bit of a space cadet. He might.
The problem with Bob is he'd be focusing on the games too much. Bob, he wouldn't be able to talk.
Bob can't handle that. I love Bob to death. He can't handle
it. You might be good at that, Mikey.
I was going to suggest myself. Yeah. Yeah, that's not even, I'm not even trying to be a prick. I'm really not. Now, who do I think would be the funniest to do it? If we were talking just strictly funny, I think the Jet would actually be hysterical doing it if he was forced to do it. I think he would be hysterical. But that's why I think it would be so funny.
Who would be your person if you could say anybody?
Anybody in the world?
In the world?
Oh, that's a different conversation,
Joe. I'd love Steve Harvey to do it. Down the
side. Show me Titans.
We got an interception.
Could you imagine? Great pick. Could you imagine Gus Johnson doing that? Doing red zone.
He'd be exhausted. The guy would have.
I don't think he would make it through I don't think he'd make it to the witching hour. I don't think he'd make it to the witching hour.
The witching hour down the sideline.
Yeah. I don't think he would be able to do it. I really don't.
He definitely wouldn't make it to the second. He wouldn't make it to the second slate of games.
That's what I'm saying. By the witching hour, he'd be on life support. They'd have an AED hooked up to him.
You know who I'd like to do it? Joel Klatt.
Joel Klatt's good.
Yeah, I like Joel Klatt a lot. I think he'd be very good. Colin Cowherd, I don't like him as an on-camera personality, but I think he would be decent at it.
That twangy voice would have to – it would be a lot.
Chris Fowler.
You know who would
excellent.
Be good, and I hate to say it, I really hate this guy, but he probably would be decent, is the American Idol guy. Who's everywhere?
Oh, Ryan Seacrest.
Oh,
Ryan Seacrest
God.
Would probably do
it. God.
I don't. I'm not saying I like it, Mikey.
Yeah.
I like to think of like guys who are not in sports. If you had to throw, that's why I said Steve Harvey.
Oh, that's good too. Yeah, a guy not in sports would be
Steve Harvey is the answer.
You know who would be good at it? And I don't know where he's
Trump. Going. Trump. Let Trump do it. Trump on red zone would be unbelievable, bro.
Lot of scores.
Yeah.
Lot of updates.
A lot of scoring going on. A lot of scoring.
The last one too, I would say, and then I think we got to go is Chris. What's the guy? The Berman.
Chris Berman. Yeah.
Would be really good.
Yeah, he would be good.
That's a fun question.
That's a good one. All right, everybody. That's another edition of The Sportsman. Sorry, we cut this one a little bit short, but we all got stuff going on. We will sure to do a longer one next week.
This was still long, though. This was an hour and a half. It had to be. It had to be.
Yeah, for us, that's on the shorter end, though.
That's absurd. This was long. Felt
absurd. Well, we all. A lot of minutes.
A lot of minutes. A lot of people.
A lot of analysis.
Walked in here. I said, wow, a lot of.
Quite frankly, some of the best.
All right. We appreciate every one of you guys out there watching the show, sticking along with us, riding the picks, just enjoying themselves, having some fun. Make sure you guys like, comment, subscribe on the YouTube and the Instagram. Fire your questions into the Instagram. Mr. Anderson will field those and send them our way, and we will answer them at the end of each episode. When football's over, we might even just do a whole episode just on questions. So please keep firing. If we don't make it 1 week, we always log them in. We always store them, and we will get to them at some point. Gentlemen, another good one, another fun week, another good week of football ahead of us. Week 14 coming up. We will see what happens next week. Gentlemen, I will see you all next time.